Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the Voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Agriculture Report and Science in the News, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome back to a special program of As It Is, a way for you to learn and improve your American English. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today, we take you to Detroit, Michigan, and visit what was once a large part of America's industrial strength. The Packard plant was once the most modern automobile production center in the world. Now, the former factory buildings are in disrepair, and police and fire officials in Detroit say the factory grounds are a danger to the community. Detroit is known as the Motor City. It is home to car makers Ford, Chrysler, and General Motors. Before these businesses became world famous, the Packard Motor Car Company was the best-known car maker in Detroit. The Packard plant was known for its big, strong buildings. These structures were famous for their open spaces and use of sunlight. The Packard plant influenced the design of factories around the world. But by 2012, the Detroit Free Press was describing the Packard plant as big, ugly, and dangerous. Today, visitors are not permitted inside the old buildings. Some structures are collapsing. Roads within the 18-hectare property are damaged. Industrial wreckage and waste cover the grounds. But after the city of Detroit seized the property, many people wanted to buy the old Packard plant. The city took control of the land because the owner had failed to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes. The Detroit City government first attempted to sell the Packard plant in October of 2012. A Spanish-born businessman, Fernando Palazuelo, was the third person to make an offer at a government auction. The first person offered $6 million, but failed to make the full payment. A man who had offered $2 million for the property also failed to pay. Finally, in 2013, the city accepted Mr. Palazuelo's offer. He reportedly paid only $405,000 for the Packard plant. The story of the Packard plant begins in 1903 with two American brothers and a German immigrant. The brothers, William and James Ward Packard, thought they could build a better car. The immigrant, architect Albert Kahn, thought he could design a better factory. The Packard brothers moved some of their business operations to Detroit in 1903. They asked Kahn to design new factory buildings for the Packard Motor Car Company. His design included tall windows that gave factory workers plenty of light and fresh air. Kahn made the daylight factory popular. He used wood, brick, and other traditional building materials in the first eight buildings. Then the architect began using reinforced concrete. This material helped protect buildings from being destroyed by fire. It is for this reason that the Packard plant has survived longer than the company that built it. Packard cars were the favorite cars of the rich in the early 20th century. In 1921, Warren G. Harding was the first American president to drive to his swearing-in ceremony. President Harding declared that America was in the age of what he called the motor car. In 1932, Americans elected Franklin Roosevelt as president. Roosevelt set up programs to keep people working during the Great Depression. In 1935, radio listeners could hear a Packard advertisement with the words, "Give a man a job, buy a new car." Packard stopped making cars during World War II to build engines for military airplanes and ships. One day in 1943, production at the plant came to a halt. About 25,000 people walked off the job. White factory workers were protesting the naming of three African Americans to new positions. Their appointments meant that the white workers would be working directly with African Americans. The strike lasted 3 days. Later that summer, there were deadly race riots across Detroit. The unrest stopped war production for 2 weeks. After the war, the Packard Company began to lose business. The company was losing out to other companies. By 1959, production stopped and the Packard plant was officially closed. Ownership of the Packard plant has changed over the years. Since the early 1990s, the plant has been almost unoccupied. People continue to steal anything from the property that can be sold. Many musicians and visual artists have seen beauty and meaning in the wreckage of the Packard plant. The British graffiti artist Banksy left two versions of his work on Packard plant buildings in 2010. Detroit rapper Eminem has used the plant as a setting. The video music for his song Beautiful shows him walking through the grounds.
Lately I've been hard to reach. I've been too long on my own. Everybody has a private world where they can be alone. Are you calling me? Are you trying to get through? Are you reaching out for me? I'm reaching out.
The new owner of the Packard plant has employed a security company to protect the property. Fernando Palazuelo plans to build a stronger fence to stop criminals and other individuals. Then he will begin the huge job of removing collapsed buildings and small mountains of old car tires. Mr. Palazuelo started his property development business in Spain. He sold and bought houses. Then, during the international economic crisis of 2008, he lost everything. He moved to Lima, Peru. The businessman bought old structures in the historic center of the Peruvian capital. He redeveloped the buildings and persuaded people to live and work in them. He says his experience in Lima will help him in Detroit. Mr. Palazuela believes it will cost around $350 million to save some of the old buildings and develop new structures. He wants to create space for new factories, offices, and homes. He also plans to include performance and art spaces. He estimates it will take between 10 and 15 years to redevelop the Packard plant. This has been a special As It Is program about a part of America that was once called the Industrial Heartland. It was a manufacturing center like no other. The people of Detroit, Michigan are proud of their history and dream of a day when all of their hometown will once again help drive America forward. Thank you for listening. There are more Learning English programs coming your way in less than a minute. And there is world news at the beginning of the hour on VOA. I'm Jim Tedder. in Washington.
The Agriculture Report is next, followed by Science in the News. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Agriculture Report. A period of severe dry weather, called a drought, is damaging crops in the U.S. state of California. This could cause a rise in food prices for Americans and people around the world. In the Central Valley of California, farmers are reducing crop size because they do not have enough water. Last year, California had the least amount of rain since officials began keeping records. And it may be just as bad this year. Reservoirs are areas where water is stored. In California, some reservoirs are empty. The amount of snow in the Sierra Mountains is 75% below normal. This mountain snow melts in the spring and fills rivers. The water is used by farmers. But now farmers are warning of the possibility of another dust bowl like the one of the 1930s. Severe droughts and dust storms covered American farmlands, and few crops grew. Farmers in California produce almost half of U.S. fruits and vegetables. Much of it comes from the Central Valley. Dan Irataberry is a third-generation California farmer. He grows tomatoes, walnuts, garlic, and other crops in Fresno County. He says the federal agency that controls the amount of water released from dams and rivers has stopped giving him water. He and other farmers say officials are not correctly administering the water system.
The last couple of years, dry years, including coupled with severe environmental restrictions, has now presented us with a zero allocation year.
Farmers may not be able to plant crops on more than 200,000 hectares of farmland in the Central Valley this spring. Mr. Irataberry will plant crops on just 80% of his farmland. He has enough work for only 15 of his 25 workers.
Right now, we're completely dependent on wells to finish these crops off, but I'm going to be fallowing about 1,200 acres of our operation. It won't be anything growing on there.
Federal and state officials sometimes reduce the amount of water to farmers, even in years with normal rainfall levels. The officials must supply water to the Sacramento River Delta, which is home to several endangered species. Long-term solutions include conservation, recycling wastewater, and building desalinization centers. These centers remove salt from seawater so it can be used on farms. Farmers say better administration of the state's water system could also help solve the crisis. And that's the VOA Learning English Agriculture Report. You can read stories about agriculture at our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Katie Weaver.
From VOA Learning English, this is Science in the News. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. Today, we report on recent developments in space science. We tell about the growing demand for communications satellites and space-based imaging services. We also tell about China's first robotic vehicle on the moon. But first, we examine the effect of longer space flights on humans.
Human beings have a natural desire to explore the unknown. People with a strong interest in space like to say it is the last place left to explore.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
But scientists are warning that space exploration for long periods is not going to be easy. They say the human body is not designed to stay in space over an extended period. The New York Times recently published a report about scientists who are preparing astronauts for a trip to the moon. The newspaper said the scientists want to make sure that their crews return home in good health. But there are many problems to be solved before people are ready for long trips to the moon, an asteroid, or even the planet Mars.
Humans developed on a planet with a surface that is more than 70% water. Our bodies are also about 70% water. When there is no gravity, that water moves up toward the head, raising pressure in the skull. Arms and legs grow weaker at what is called zero gravity, because they no longer need to push against the force of gravity. 5 years ago, astronauts who spent weeks in space reported a change in their eyesight. These astronauts were members of the crew on the International Space Station. Research showed a change in the shape of their eyes. Normally round eyeballs had become flat during time in space. The research also showed that the right eye was affected more than the left, and that men were more affected than women. Scientists could not find an explanation for the differences.
Bone loss was one of the problems first reported by astronauts returning to Earth after longer stays in space. So scientists designed exercise machines to use on the space station. Tests showed that the exercise equipment helped space travelers keep their bones almost as strong as when they left Earth. There are other health issues for astronauts who spend a long time in space. They may have problems eating and sleeping, but the biggest health issue is exposure to radiation. On Earth, human beings are protected by the atmosphere and the planet's magnetic field. In outer space, there is no such protection.
For more than 50 years, the health of American astronauts has been a concern of NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. NASA does not let the risk of cancer for its astronauts rise more than 3% during their lifetime. But there is more to be worried about than a possible increased risk of cancer. On Long Island, New York, scientists have been studying the effect of cosmic rays on mice. The scientists say they have found possible brain damage to the animals. Another problem for astronauts is the difficulty of exchanging information with people on Earth during long flights. There is no delay now in communicating between astronauts and flight headquarters, known as Mission Control. But messages between Earth and distant planets will take minutes to arrive. Mental health is another important issue for long space flights. And because astronauts will be inside their small spaceship together for months, they must work well as a team. There could be problems if one of the astronauts develops personality issues.
NASA plans to send humans to Mars by 2030. The mission would take about 2.5 years. That is almost 6 times longer than the longest stay in space. One reason NASA extended the life of the International Space Station was to do more medical research on the effects of a longer stay in space. Starting in 2015, an American astronaut and a Russian cosmonaut are to stay on the space station for 1 full year. The Russian cosmonaut, Valery Polyakov, has already stayed longer than a year in space. He worked on the Russian space station Mir in 1994 and 1995.
Scientists say they now have better measuring devices and testing methods. They want to use them to study the changes in the body and mind during long stays in zero gravity. Their research is aimed at learning if such changes in physical condition will remain, or will return to normal a few months after they have returned to Earth.
Robots in space do not have the health problems of humans, but they can develop operating problems. China's first moon explorer landed on the moon in December, but it developed problems in January. The Chinese news agency Xinhua reported that scientists were working to fix the robotic vehicle, which is known as Jade Rabbit. The vehicle is named for a small animal in traditional Chinese stories about a moon goddess. China's State Administration of Science, Technology, and Industry for National Defense said the problems were a result of what it called complicated lunar surface environment. The agency provided no other information.
But in February, the Jade Rabbit showed signs of life. A spokesman for the program was reported as saying technicians are still investigating the cause of what he called the mechanical control malfunction. The problem caused the vehicle to go into a rest or sleep mode. The Jade Rabbit is designed to enter sleep mode to survive the extreme cold nights on the moon. The rover came to life briefly on February 23rd before entering sleep mode again. There have been no reports of the Jade Rabbit waking since then. The device remains in its third sleep since landing on the moon.
Launching rockets into space has become almost commonplace. The demand for communications satellites and space-based image services is growing. Today, space efforts are a $200 billion a year industry. Joint efforts between governments and businesses are helping to lower costs and increase our understanding of the universe.
The business of space looks good for Orbital Sciences Corporation, a company based in the United States. In January, the company launched its Antares rocket. The rocket was carrying the first of 8 planned supply shipments to the International Space Station. Orbital Sciences is one of 2 American companies paid by NASA to transport supplies to the space station. A company called Arianespace is a private European space business. Arianespace launched its first satellite 30 years ago. It says 2014 may be its busiest year yet. Clayton Mowry heads the American division of the company. He says the increase in rocket launches is partly the result of increased demand for space-based technologies. These include extreme high-definition broadcasts and satellite broadband service.
While there is more demand for satellites, the end of NASA's Space Shuttle program in 2011 has hurt the space industry. Janice Starzik works at International Launch Services. She works on education issues at the Washington Space Business Roundtable.
The shuttle program shutting down was a huge, huge set of layoffs in the industry.
But even as NASA reduces its spending, other countries have announced plans to explore space. In December, China became just the third country to land a space vehicle on the moon. A month later, India launched its first communications satellite.
In Denmark, two people are attempting to prove that spaceflight does not need to be costly. They are using designs that are free to anyone. They are attempting to pay for rocket launches by asking interested people to make a donation to the project. Christian von Bengtsson helped start the company called Copenhagen Suborbitals. He has dreamed since he was a boy of launching a rocket 100 kilometers into space. He wants to launch a rocket built by a private company for less money than expected.
Everybody believes that space flight, manned space flight, can only be done with billions of dollars, and it has to be government financed. I hope that we can show that you can do it on a shoestring budget. You can pretty much do it yourself.
Christian von Bengtsson hopes to launch a rocket carrying astronauts into space by 2020.
As more companies enter the space industry, they will need highly trained and educated workers. Janice Starzik says the Space Business Roundtable will continue to urge students to consider careers in space.
Actually, it's a major problem in most countries of getting young people interested in studying engineering, and specifically aerospace engineering.
She says attendance at her organization's Space Academy program has risen over the last 3 years. She says that as demand increases for rocket launches, so will the demand for highly trained engineers and other space workers.
This Science in the News was written and produced by Christopher Cruz. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. You can comment on this story on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Join us again next week for more news about science on the Voice of America.